no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 19th day of July. Welcome, everyone. We are back in the story of 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and it's a brand new week. We begin a brand new translation today. Today we read 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and then we'll read 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 31, and we'll end today with Psalm chapter 48. This week we are reading the New English Translation. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Israel's king Hoshea, son of Elah, Ahaz's son Hezekiah became king over Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what the Lord approved, just as his ancestor David had done. He eliminated the high places, smashed the sacred pillars to bits, and cut down the Asherah pole. He also demolished the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been offering incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. In this regard, there was none like him among the kings of Judah, either before or after. He was loyal to the Lord and did not abandon him. He obeyed the commandments that the Lord had given to Moses. The Lord was with him. He succeeded in all his endeavors. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and refused to submit to him. He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from watchtower to fortified city. 2 Chronicles chapters 29 through 31. Hezekiah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what the Lord approved, just as his ancestor David had done. In the first month of the year of his reign, he opened the doors of the Lord's temple and repaired them. He brought in the priests and Levites and assembled them in the square on the east side. He said to them, "Listen to me, you Levites. Now consecrate yourselves, so you can consecrate the temple of the Lord God of your ancestors. Remove from the sanctuary what is ceremonially unclean. For our fathers were unfaithful. They did what is evil in the sight of the Lord our God and abandoned him. They turned away from the Lord's dwelling place and rejected him. They closed the doors of the temple porch and put out the lamps. They did not offer incense or burnt sacrifices in the sanctuary of the God of Israel. The Lord was angry at Judah and Jerusalem and made them an appalling object of horror, at which people hiss out their scorn, as you can see with your own eyes. Look, our fathers died violently, and our sons, daughters, and wives were carried off because of this. Now I intend to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, so that he may relent from his raging anger. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him, to be his ministers, and to offer sacrifices." The following Levites prepared to carry out the king's orders. From the Kohathites, Mahath, son of Amasai, and Joel, son of Azariah. From the Merarites, Kish, son of Abdi, and Azariah, son of Jehalel. From the Gershonites, Joah, son of Zima, and Eden, son of Joah. From the descendants of Elisaphan, Shimri, and Jeel. From the descendants of Asaph, Zechariah and Mattaniah. From the descendants of Haman, Jehiel and Shimei. From the descendants of Jeduthun, Shemaiah and Uzziel. They assembled their brothers and consecrated themselves. Then they went in to purify the Lord's temple, just as the king had ordered, in accordance with the word of the Lord. The priests then entered the Lord's temple to purify it. They brought out to the courtyard of the Lord's temple every ceremonially unclean thing they discovered inside. The Levites took them out to the Kidron Valley. On the first day of the first month, they began consecrating. By the eighth day of the month, they reached the porch of the Lord's temple. For 8 more days, they consecrated the Lord's temple. On the 16th day of the first month, they were finished. They went to King Hezekiah and said, "We have purified the entire temple of the Lord, including the altar of burnt sacrifice and all its equipment, and the table for the bread of the presence and all its equipment. We have prepared and consecrated all the items that King Ahaz removed during his reign when he acted unfaithfully. They are in front of the altar of the Lord." Early the next morning, King Hezekiah assembled the city officials and went up to the Lord's temple. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 goats as a sin offering for the kingdom, the sanctuary, and Judah. The king told the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer burnt sacrifices on the altar of the Lord. They slaughtered the bulls, and the priests took the blood and splashed it on the altar. Then they slaughtered the rams and splashed the blood on the altar. Next, they slaughtered the lambs and splashed the blood on the altar. Finally, they brought the goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they placed their hands on them. Then the priests slaughtered them. They offered their blood as a sin offering on the altar to make atonement for all Israel, because the king had decreed that the burnt sacrifice and sin offering were for all Israel. Hezekiah stationed the Levites in the Lord's temple with cymbals and stringed instruments, just as David, Gad the king's prophet, and Nathan the prophet had ordered. The Lord had actually given these orders through his prophets. The Levites had David's musical instruments and the priests had trumpets. Hezekiah ordered the burnt sacrifice to be offered on the altar. As they began to offer the sacrifice, they also began to sing to the Lord, accompanied by the trumpets and the musical instruments of King David of Israel. The entire assembly worshipped as the singers sang and the trumpeters played. They continued until the burnt sacrifice was completed. When the sacrifices were completed, the king and all who were with him bowed down and worshipped. King Hezekiah and the officials told the Levites to praise the Lord using the Psalms of David and Asaph the prophet. So they joyfully offered praise and bowed down and worshipped. Hezekiah said, "Now you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come and bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the Lord's temple." So the assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and whoever desired to do so brought burnt sacrifices. The assembly brought a total of 70 bulls, 100 rams, and 200 lambs as burnt sacrifices to the Lord, and 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep were consecrated. But there were not enough priests to skin all the animals, so their brothers, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished and the priests could consecrate themselves. The Levites had been more conscientious about consecrating themselves than the priests. There was a large number of burnt sacrifices, as well as fat from the peace offerings and drink offerings that accompanied the burnt sacrifices. So the service of the Lord's temple was reinstituted. Hezekiah and all the people were happy about what God had done for them, for it had been done quickly. Hezekiah sent messages throughout Israel and Judah. He even wrote letters to Ephraim and Manasseh, summoning them to come to the Lord's temple in Jerusalem and observe a Passover celebration for the Lord God of Israel. The king, his officials, and the entire assembly in Jerusalem decided to observe the Passover in the second month. They were unable to observe it at the regular time because not enough priests had consecrated themselves and the people had not assembled in Jerusalem. The proposal seemed appropriate to the king and the entire assembly. So they sent an edict throughout Israel from Beersheba to Dan, summoning the people to come and observe a Passover for the Lord God of Israel in Jerusalem, for they had not observed it on a nationwide scale as prescribed in the law. Messengers delivered the letters from the king and his officials throughout Israel and Judah. The royal edict read, "O Israelites, return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, so he may return to you who have been spared from the kings of Assyria. Don't be like your fathers and brothers who were unfaithful to the Lord God of their ancestors, provoking him to destroy them, as you can see. Now, don't be stubborn like your fathers. Submit to the Lord, and come to his sanctuary, which he has permanently consecrated. Serve the Lord your God so that he might relent from his raging anger. For if you return to the Lord, your brothers and sons will be shown mercy by their captors and return to this land. The Lord your God is merciful and compassionate. He will not reject you if you return to him. The messengers journeyed from city to city through the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, as far as Zebulun, but people mocked and ridiculed them. But some men from Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. In Judah, God moved the people to unite and carry out the edict of the king and the officers in keeping with the Lord's message. A huge crowd assembled in Jerusalem to observe the feast of unleavened bread in the second month. They removed the altars in Jerusalem. They also removed all the incense altars and threw them into the Kidron Valley. They slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the second month. The priests and Levites were ashamed, so they consecrated themselves and brought burnt sacrifices to the Lord's temple. They stood at their posts according to the regulations outlined in the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests were splashing the blood as the Levites handed it to them. Because many in the assembly had not consecrated themselves, the Levites slaughtered the Passover lambs of all who were ceremonially unclean and could not consecrate their sacrifice to the Lord. The majority of the many people from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun were ceremonially unclean, yet they ate the Passover in violation of what is prescribed in the law. For Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "May the Lord, who is good, forgive everyone who has determined to follow God, the Lord God of his ancestors, even if he is not ceremonially clean according to the standards of the temple." The Lord responded favorably to Hezekiah and forgave the people. The Israelites who were in Jerusalem observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with great joy. The Levites and priests were praising the Lord every day with all their might. Hezekiah expressed his appreciation to all the Levites who demonstrated great skill in serving the Lord. They feasted for the 7 days of the festival and were making peace offerings and giving thanks to the Lord God of their ancestors. The entire assembly then decided to celebrate for 7 more days, so they joyfully celebrated for 7 more days. King Hezekiah of Judah supplied 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep for the assembly, while the officials supplied them with 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep. Many priests consecrated themselves. The celebration included the entire assembly of Judah, the priests, the Levites, the entire assembly of those who came from Israel, the resident foreigners who came from the land of Israel, and those who were residents of Judah. There was a great celebration in Jerusalem, unlike anything that had occurred in Jerusalem since the time of King Solomon, son of David of Israel. The priests and Levites got up and pronounced blessings on the people. The Lord responded favorably to them as their prayers reached his holy dwelling place in heaven. When all this was over, the Israelites who were in the cities of Judah went out and smashed the sacred pillars, cut down the Asherah poles, and demolished all the high places and altars throughout Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Then all the Israelites returned to their own homes and their cities. Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and Levites to do their assigned tasks, to offer burnt sacrifices and present offerings, and to serve, give thanks, and offer praise in the gates of the Lord's sanctuary. The king contributed some of what he owned for burnt sacrifices, including the morning and evening burnt sacrifices, and the burnt sacrifices made on Sabbaths, new moon festivals, and at other appointed times prescribed in the law of the Lord. He ordered the people living in Jerusalem to contribute the portion prescribed for the priests and Levites, so they might be obedient to the law of the Lord. When the edict was issued, the Israelites freely contributed the initial portion of their grain, wine, olive oil, honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a tenth of everything, which added up to a huge amount. The Israelites and people of Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also contributed a tenth of their cattle and sheep, as well as a tenth of the holy items consecrated to the Lord their God. They brought them and placed them in many heaps. In the third month, they began piling their contributions in heaps and finished in the seventh month. When Hezekiah and the officials came and saw the heaps, they praised the Lord and pronounced blessings on his people Israel. When Hezekiah asked the priests and Levites about the heaps, Azariah, the head priest from the family of Zadok, said to him, "Since the contributions began arriving in the Lord's temple, we have had plenty to eat and have a large quantity left over. For the Lord has blessed his people, and this large amount remains." Hezekiah ordered that storerooms be prepared in the Lord's temple. When this was done, they brought in the contributions, tithes, and consecrated items that had been offered. Conaniah, a Levite, was in charge of all this, assisted by his brother Shimei. Jehiel, Azaziah, Nahath, Asael, Jeremoth, Jozabad, Eliel, Ismachiah, Mahath, and Benaiah worked until the supervision of Conaniah and his brother Shimei, as directed by King Hezekiah and Azariah, the supervisor of God's temple. Kor, son of Imnah, a Levite, and the guard on the east side, was in charge of the voluntary offerings made to God and dispersed the contributions made to the Lord and the consecrated items. In the cities of the priests, Eden, Miniamin, Jeshua, Shemaiah, Amariah, and Shechaniah faithfully assisted him in making disbursements to their fellow priests according to their divisions, regardless of age. They made disbursements to all the males 3 years old and up who were listed in the genealogical records, to all who would enter the Lord's temple to serve on a daily basis and fulfill their duties as assigned to their divisions. They made disbursements to the priests listed in the genealogical records by their families, and to the Levites 20 years old and up, according to their duties as assigned to their divisions, and to all the infants, wives, sons, and daughters of the entire assembly listed in the genealogical records, for they faithfully consecrated themselves. As for the descendants of Aaron, the priests who lived in the outskirts of all their cities, the men were assigned to disperse portions to every male among the priests and to every Levite listed in the genealogical records. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah. He did what the Lord his God considered good and right and faithful. He wholeheartedly and successfully reinstituted service in God's temple and obedience to the law in order to follow his God. Finally today, Psalm chapter 48. The Lord is great and certainly worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy hill. It is lofty and pleasing to look at, a source of joy to the whole earth. Mount Zion resembles the peaks at Zaphon. It is the city of the great king. God is in its fortresses. He reveals himself as its defender. For look, the kings assemble. They advance together. As soon as they see, they are shocked. They are terrified. They quickly retreat. Look at them shake uncontrollably, like a woman writhing in childbirth. With an east wind, you shatter the large ships. We heard about God's mighty deeds. Now we have seen them. In the city of the Lord of heaven's armies, in the city of our God. God makes it permanently secure. Selah. Within your temple, we reflect on your loyal love, O God. The praise you receive as far away as the ends of the earth is worthy of your reputation, O God. You execute justice. Mount Zion rejoices. The towns of Judah are happy because of your acts of judgment. Walk around Zion, encircle it, count its towers, consider its defenses, walk through its fortresses, so you can tell the next generation about it. For God, our God, is our defender forever. He guides us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together in your word. Thank you that you are our defender. Thank you for your guidance through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the voice of wisdom. we give you this week. Say, speak, do, mold, pluck, prune all that you wish to do within us. As we hear your word, God, may we be more than just hearers, but may we be doers of your word, to act justly, to walk humbly, to love mercy. We do this all to the glory of your name. We give you thanks and praise here today. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Looking forward to a beautiful week together. I'm Jill. Until we turn the page together tomorrow, love one another.
Hello, beautiful family. This is Victorious and Grateful, calling to pray for my son. My son, Doug, has a huge certification exam coming up in mid-August. I called the DAB line and requested prayer. And I'd like to also request that my DABC family join in. This huge, expensive exam coming in mid-August. It's he's taken the summer off to do a deep dive immersive study. And this is an exam for like structural engineers and inspectors. And so we want our inspectors and engineers to know their stuff, right? Like 200%. So my prayer is, and actually I want to broaden this prayer to, let's include all of those that we know that are studying for some sort of exam, perhaps even waiting for the results of an exam, like the pharmacy exam, the bar exam, these, you know, those caliber exams that can be very stressful, and they require a lot of devotion, diligence, study. So my prayer is, please join with me that not only he, but all the others that are preparing for some sort of exam, that what they study, they retain, what they, you know, what they learn, they can recall it. Everything makes perfect sense in thought, on paper, electronically for the test, perhaps hands-on for the practical portions. And, you know, what they learn, they retain, they recall, they can write it, speak it, draw it, build it, whatever's needed for their success. Thank you, family.
Hey, my wonderful dad, C-Fam, this is KSD, daughter of the silversmith, his redeemed daughter, Heather of Pikes Peak by way of Texas. Just wanted to say thank you all so much for your prayers and making mention of LOV and I in prayer concerning our marriage. I appreciate you guys. A special thanks to Walking in Truth from Florida. Oh, my sister, your prayer was absolutely powerful. I was right there with you in that prayer, and I so appreciate you for praying for marriages in general, and I pray that the Lord would do likewise for you and your marriage, that he would bless you and your husband, to strengthen you, preserve you, and to keep you at the cross. So thank you so much again, sis. To our brother Curtius in the Commonwealth, I hear you, brother. I hear you. And I understand the pain. LOV and I have been separated for over 16 months now. And this is our second separation. And so I feel you. But I want to remind you that as you're in this season, whatever the Lord is doing, keep working on you. Let God work on Angie, and let the Lord keep working on you. The Lord knows, he sees, and he cares. So Father, would you be with Curtius in the Commonwealth, and be with Angie. Bring healing to her body, bring healing to this marriage, and let your divine will be done in Jesus' name.
Hello, Dabsy. This is Aaron from Houston. It's been a while, and I'm still trying to figure out some things. The primary thing is I just don't feel the love of God anymore in my life. brief glimpses sometimes. But generally, I don't even want to think about God these days anymore. And I'm not sure exactly why that is. I believe it has to do with the fact that it's hard for me to balance the idea of God loving me when I don't feel I'm doing very much for Him. And part of that is because I've stepped down from ministry several months ago, and the idea of not being directly involved in things makes me feel lazy, fearful, just anxious all the time. I mean, the reason I stepped down in the first place was because this did not seem correct in the first place. That the way I was helping others was not very genuinely helping, and was more so that I could be comfortable knowing they're doing better rather than actually helping. So I had put the cart before the horse, and I just don't know what to do. I feel bad if I help, and I feel bad if I don't help. And in either way, it's a selfish motive. So regardless, I just don't know necessarily what's going on. I have good days and bad days. It's not all bad news. But it's just, this has been a very difficult process. A process of trying to let go and let God work in other people's lives, to stop taking a heavy hand in things, and to try to be open to Him, but it's not been easy. So please pray for me. Thank you.